A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey, Herman and Corin. Interesting episode about Vercel and how the magic or seeming magic of serverless actually works. And I mentioned that our initial conversations about serverless were more focused on our dear, beloved serverless GPU platform, Modal. And we've talked a little bit about how Modal works, but there are other games in town like RunPod, and in fact, probably four or five names I could just tot off after that. And they all have their own kind of particular nuances regarding deployment of your scripts and your workloads. And I'd love to actually talk a little bit about that, because as so often happens, the devil is in the details. So here's something that I've seen some platforms do and others don't. If you have a code base that's fairly stable, let's take the podcast production this podcast production pipeline, which lives on Modal. That's our serverless GPU provider. So that code base is fairly stable, not that it doesn't change, but the changes are incremental. And from what I understand, the last time I looked at their docs, there is some kind of caching that happens, which is kind of where my brain gets a bit confused, because you think, well, serverless GPU means you're not paying for persistent storage. So if I'm not paying for persistent storage, how could they be storing or caching any of my stuff? But that works somehow. Other models are a little bit more deterministic, if that's the right word, in how they do this. You might actually deploy from your container registry a specific version of your pipeline. And only when it's there is it available for running. So it's kind of more, the version control, I'd say, is a bit more rigid, and you run it there. Now, the first time that you build this is what I'd love to actually understand a bit more clearly. From what I can recall, we're using Chatterbox as our TTS pipeline, as we've talked about many times. And if you're using something powerful like TTS on GPU, you have a whole bunch of really heavy stuff that lives beneath that, libraries like PyTorch, etc. So the first time you ship your customized container, you have this relatively slow first build, because the server side, you're taking these gargantuan images, adding your little pieces into the jigsaw. But on future builds, it's lightning quick. That doesn't happen. I don't know exactly how that's abstracted on Modal. And maybe on other platforms where it's less abstracted, but I'd love to know about how that process actually works. And in terms of container registries, it feels like, or it seems like to me, this is actually an optional layer. You can just ship code directly to one of these platforms, and the build will happen on their infrastructure. Or you can use an actual container registry and say, this is where our code, this is the image that you're going to be running. We don't need you to build it. It's already there. Pull it down and then run our workload on it. The other thing, the final thing that I find interesting and I feel would be instructive to know about, is the separation between container versions and runtime. So when I'm tweaking this podcast, I'll sometimes say the last edit to our pipeline was an EQ edit, right? And I'll wait until the code is deployed to Modal. And then, and only then, will I send in my prompt, knowing that the new container is running. And it works reliably well. So what's interesting, what I'd love to understand a bit more clearly, is how that process of semantic versioning or versioning of your code actually works, by which it's always available. The latest version is always available. But the second that a new build lands, anything after it is going to run on it. That's the default position, at least on Modal. I'd love to know if you can do it a bit more deliberately. For example, I might want to deploy the latest version, but only run it on a test episode that gets to, maybe a specific one, and say, keep the old version just for the next two, and now we can retire it. In other words, making that process a bit more deliberate. But I'd be also interested to know how the default position works, because it does work very effectively, and I've yet to really have any instance I can point to where I didn't push an update to Modal and it said something went wrong. I sent in a new generation and it ran on the old code. So far, so good. It works flawlessly out of the box, which is itself pretty impressive and be worth understanding a bit about how that actually works. Herman and Corin, over to you.
The prompt today is really about the gap between the glossy serverless promise and the actual plumbing. Specifically, how these GPU platforms handle container builds, caching, and versioning, because it turns out, just push code and run hides a whole lot of engineering. The prompt mentions our own podcast pipeline on Modal as the example, but it's asking about the broader landscape too. RunPod, Banana, Beam, Replicate, they all solve this slightly differently.
The differences are where things get interesting. The default experience on Modal, where you push code and somehow the right version runs immediately every time, feels almost magical. But it's not magic. It's a set of deliberate design choices about where the abstraction boundary sits and what the platform manages versus what you manage. Those choices have real trade-offs.
The prompt frames it as three connected questions. First, how does the fast rebuild actually work, given there's no persistent storage in the serverless model? Second, what's the role of container registries versus shipping code directly? And third, how does versioning and rollout actually function? And can you make it more deliberate than the default, latest, always wins behavior?
Let's start with the caching question, because it trips people up the most. You hear serverless, and you think stateless, ephemeral, nothing persists. That's true for the runtime. When your function executes, when your GPU workload runs, that environment is spun up fresh and torn down when it's done. But the build process is a completely separate phase. During the build, caching is not only possible, it's the whole game.
The build happens on infrastructure that does have persistent storage, even though the runtime doesn't.
And the way Modal does it is through layer caching at the container image level. When you define a Modal image in your code, you're essentially writing a Dockerfile in Python. You install PyTorch, your audio libraries, Chatterbox, whatever it is. Each instruction produces a layer, and Modal caches each layer independently.
When I change a single line of code in the podcast pipeline, the platform isn't rebuilding PyTorch from scratch.
It sees that the base image, the PyTorch layer, the system dependencies, all identical to the last build. Those layers are cached. It only rebuilds the layer that actually changed, typically the last one where you copy your application code in. That's why the first build takes 10 minutes and subsequent builds take 30 seconds. Same principle as Docker layer caching, but managed entirely by the platform.
Which is where the "where is this stored?" confusion comes in. The cached layers live in the platform's build infrastructure. They're not in your serverless runtime, not something you'll build for as persistent storage. They're part of the build service, a stateful component of an otherwise stateless architecture.
This is where the different platforms diverge in ways that matter. Modal manages the entire build process. You ship code, they build the image, they cache the layers, they handle the registry internally. You never see a container registry. You never push to one. The platform is the registry.
Whereas RunPod, at least in its more common usage patterns, takes a different approach. You build your image yourself, push it to Docker Hub or a private registry, and tell RunPod, here's the image, run this.
That's the fundamental split. It's not that one is better. It's about what kind of control you want and what complexity you're willing to manage. The Modal approach removes an entire category of decisions. You don't need to know what a container registry is. You don't need to set one up, secure it, manage access tokens. But you're also trusting the platform's build system to get it right.
The trade-off being that if you already have a sophisticated CI/CD pipeline producing hardened, tested container images, the Modal approach might feel like it's duplicating work you've already done well.
Some platforms let you have it both ways. Banana lets you either ship code and let them build it, or point to an existing image in a registry. Replicate has their own packaging format. COG, which standardizes how models are containerized, and they handle the build, but you can also push pre-built images. The landscape is quite varied once you get past the marketing.
Let's talk about the container registry question. The prompt asks whether registries are essentially optional. From what you're saying, the answer is, it depends on the platform. But even when they're optional, they're still there under the hood.
They're always there. Even Modal, which abstracts the registry away from you, is using one internally. When you run a Modal build, it produces an image. That image gets stored somewhere, and when a cold start happens, the platform pulls that image onto whatever machine is going to run your workload. The question is just whether you, the developer, have to think about it.
The prompt mentions that on Modal, version control feels less rigid, more fluid, compared to platforms where you explicitly tag and push images. Modal's model is essentially, your code is the source of truth, and the platform derives the image from it. There's no separate step where you say, this image is now version 1.3.7.
That fluidity has real advantages for the kind of workload the prompt describes, incremental changes to a stable code base. When you're tweaking EQ settings or adjusting a prop template, you don't want to think about image tags. You want to change the code and have it take effect. The platform handles the versioning implicitly.
The prompt also asks about making this more deliberate. What if you want to deploy a new version, but only run it on a test episode first? Keep the old version running for production while you validate the new one.
This is where the latest always wins. Default starts to show its limits. And Modal actually does provide mechanisms for this. They have a concept of deployments and aliases. You can deploy a new version of your app, give it a specific deployment name or tag, and then point different implications at different deployments. So you could have a production deployment running the old code and a staging deployment running the new code, routing test episodes to staging.
That's a level of control most people don't need most of the time, which is why it's not the default. The default is push code and new invocations use the new code. Simple, predictable, works for the 95% case.
There's an interesting subtlety about when exactly the switch happens. On Modal, when you deploy new code, there's a brief window where the deployment is propagating. But once it's live, any new invocation gets the new code. In-flight invocations continue with the old code. No interruption, no dropped requests. It's essentially a blue-green deployment managed by the platform.
The prompt says, I've yet to really have any instance where I pushed an update and it ran on the old code. That reliability is worth unpacking, because it's not trivial.
It's absolutely not trivial. Under the hood, Modal maintains an atomic pointer, a reference that says, the current version is this image digest. When you deploy, that pointer gets updated atomically. New invocations look up the pointer and get the new digest. There's no window where the pointer is half updated, where some requests get the old version and some get the new one unpredictably. It's all or nothing.
This is where the difference between mutable tags and immutable digests becomes important. If you're using a container registry directly, and you push an image tagged latest, there's a real risk that different nodes in a cluster will have different versions cached under that tag. You push latest, but one node hasn't pulled it yet, and now you're running two different versions simultaneously without knowing it.
This is exactly why platforms that abstract the registry away can provide stronger guarantees. Modal isn't using the latest tag. They're using content addressable digests. The image is identified by its hash, not by a mutable label. When the pointer updates to a new digest, it's unambiguous. There's no cache invalidation problem because there's no mutable reference to invalidate.
The musical equivalent of beige wallpaper would be a mutable tag in a distributed system. It looks fine until you realize it's slightly different depending on which wall you're looking at.
That's a perfect description. And by managing the registry internally and using digests, the platform eliminates an entire class of deployment bugs that are extremely common in self-managed container workflows.
Let's get into build performance more concretely. The prompt mentions PyTorch, which is a notorious beast. A base PyTorch image with CUDA support can be several gigabytes. Installing it from scratch takes forever. The fact that subsequent builds are fast isn't just nice. It's the difference between a usable workflow and an unusable one.
This is where the layer caching strategy really shines. When you specify your modal image, you're building up from a base, maybe a standard CUDA image, then PyTorch, then your audio processing libraries. Each is a layer. Modal caches each layer based on the exact instructions that produced it. If the instructions for a layer haven't changed, the cached version is used.
What's the granularity? If I change a single dependency version deep in my requirements file, does it rebuild everything above that point?
Yes, and that's the correct behavior. If you change a dependency, you need to rebuild from that point onward because everything above it could be affected, but everything below it, the base CUDA image, the PyTorch installation, stays cached. For most incremental changes, that's the very last layer, which is typically just copying your application code.
The prompt mentions that on other platforms, the process is more deterministic. You build the image yourself, push it, and it's available. No build step on the platform at all. What's the advantage there?
Complete control over the build environment. You can use your own CI runners, do multi-stage builds the platform might not support, run tests during the build, sign the image, scan it for vulnerabilities. You know exactly what's in the image because you built it yourself. The disadvantage is you now have to manage all of that. Maintain a CI pipeline, manage registry credentials, think about layer caching yourself.
It's the classic build versus buy decision applied to build infrastructure. Do you want the platform to handle builds, or do you want to handle them yourself? The answer depends on how much you care about build reproducibility, security scanning, and integration with existing CI systems.
There's a middle ground emerging. Some platforms now support bring your own Docker file, where you define the image yourself, but the platform still builds it and manages the registry. You get more control over the image definition without managing the registry or build infrastructure.
Let's talk about the versioning question more directly. The prompt asks, can you deploy a new version and have it only applied to certain implications? The answer is yes, but the mechanism varies by platform, and the default experience is deliberately simple.
On Modal, you do this through the deployment's API. When you deploy, you can specify a deployment name. By default, it's main. But you can deploy to staging and route specific invocations there while everything else goes to main. It's not automatic. You have to explicitly route, but it gives you the control.
On RunPod, or similar platforms where you're managing images yourself, the versioning story is different. You tag your images with versions, V1, V2, V1.3. When you create a workload or endpoint, you point it at a specific tag. Updating is pointing at a new tag. Rolling back is pointing at an old one. It's completely explicit.
Which approach is better depends on what you need. The explicit approach gives you auditability. You can look at your deployment history and see exactly which image tag was running when. The implicit approach gives you speed. You change code and it's deployed. No tagging step, no manual promotion.
The prompt mentions that the default behavior on Modal, where the latest version always runs, has worked flawlessly for the podcast pipeline. That's partly a testament to the design, but also to the nature of the workload. A podcast pipeline is not a payment processing system. If a bad deploy goes out and one episode sounds slightly off, the stakes are low.
That's an important point. The default works well for internal tools, content generation, data processing. Anything where a brief window of slightly wrong behavior is annoying, but not catastrophic. For production, APIs serving paying customers, you probably want explicit versioning and gradual rollout capabilities.
Enjoying the show, funny thing by day. The guy behind the mic's got a whole other play. Name's Daniel Rosehill and he builds agentic AI. The kind that actually ships, not the kind that just tries. Carrot Cake AI, that's the shop. CarrotCakeAI.com, where the weird ideas drop. Find him on GitHub, check the open source he's made. On Hugging Face with models shared, not sold, not afraid. Got a workflow in your org that needs a smarter brain. Drop him a line and watch what he can explain. Carrot Cake AI, that's the shop. CarrotCakeAI.com, where the weird ideas drop. Daniel Rosehill, the name, the face, the firm. CarrotCakeAI.com.
Say hi. He actually writes back.
Which is why platforms serving both use cases tend to offer both modes. The simple default for quick iteration, and the advanced controls for when you need them.
There's another aspect the prompt touches on indirectly. The separation between container version and runtime configuration. The prompt mentions making an EQ edit to the pipeline, which is presumably a configuration change, not a code change. Does a configuration change require a new container build?
On Modal, it depends on how you're managing configuration. If your EQ settings are hard-coded in the application code, then yes, changing them requires a new build and deploy. But if you're passing them as parameters at invocation time, you can change them without any build at all. The container stays the same. The runtime behavior changes.
This is where application architecture matters a lot. A well-designed serverless application separates code from configuration. The code defines what the system can do. The configuration defines how it does it for a particular invocation. When you keep those separate, you get fast iteration on configuration without any build, and versioned, tested builds for code changes.
The prompt mentions sending in a prompt only after the new container is running. That's a manual synchronization step. The human is acting as the deployment gate. I wait, I verify, then I trigger the workload. That works, but it's fragile in that it relies on the human knowing when the deploy is complete.
Modal provides webhooks and deployment status APIs that could automate this. You could have a system that triggers a test generation automatically when a new deployment goes live, but for a solo developer or small team, the manual approach is perfectly fine. The platform gives you the reliability that the deploy is atomic and complete before anything runs on it.
Let's zoom out and talk about why these differences between platforms exist. They're not arbitrary. They reflect different philosophies about what a serverless GPU platform should be.
Modal's philosophy, as I understand it, is that the platform should feel like running code on your local machine, but with infinite resources. You write Python, you decorate functions, you run them. The platform handles everything else, the container, the build, the registry, the scaling. The trade-off is less visibility and control over those layers.
Whereas RunPod's philosophy, at least historically, has been to give you GPU access with minimal abstraction. Here's a GPU, here's how you run containers on it, go build what you want. More control, more responsibility. The platform is infrastructure, not a development framework.
Then you have platforms like Replicate that are even more opinionated than Modal. They're not just abstracting the infrastructure, they're abstracting the model. You push a model in their COG format and they give you an API endpoint. You don't write serverless functions, you don't think about containers at all. You think about models and predictions.
It's a spectrum of abstraction. RunPod at the low end, Replicate at the high end, Modal somewhere in the middle. Where you want to be depends on how much of the stack you need to control versus how much you want the platform to handle.
The prompt's questions about caching, registries, and versioning all flow from where a platform sits on that spectrum. The more abstracted the platform, the more it handles these things for you. The less abstracted, the more you need to understand them because you're managing them yourself.
There's a related point about cold starts, the bane of serverless. When a new invocation comes in and there's no warm instance available, the platform has to pull the image and start a container. The size of the image matters a lot for cold start latency.
This is where layer caching at the build stage connects to cold start performance at runtime. If the platform is smart about image construction, it can structure the layers so that the large, rarely changing parts, like PyTorch and CUDA, are in lower layers that get pulled first and cached aggressively. The frequently changing application code is in a thin top layer that's quick to pull.
Some platforms also do image prefetching or keep warm pools of common base images. If 100 users are all building on top of the same PyTorch base, the platform can keep that base image cached on many nodes, so pulling your specific image only requires pulling the thin layer on top.
This is the kind of optimization that's invisible to the user but makes a huge difference. And it's another reason why the ship code let the platform build approach can actually be faster than managing your own images. The platform can make global optimizations across all users that you can't make as an individual developer.
The flip side is vendor lock-in. If your entire build and deployment pipeline is tied to a specific platform's way of doing things, migrating is not trivial. Even if your application code is portable, the build configuration, deployment scripts, monitoring, all of that is platform-specific.
That's the trade-off. The abstraction that makes development fast also makes migration hard. This is true of every platform, AWS Lambda, Vercel, Heroku. The question is always, is the productivity gain worth the lock-in risk?
For the podcast pipeline, the answer seems to be yes. The prompt describes a workflow that's fast, reliable, and low friction. The platform handles the complexity, and the developer focuses on the content. That's the promise of serverless, and when it works beautifully.
It's worth acknowledging that this level of reliability, where deploys are atomic and you never accidentally run on old code, is genuinely impressive engineering. Anyone who's managed their own container deployments knows how many things can go wrong.
The fact that the prompt says, I've yet to really have any instance where I didn't push an update and it ran on the old code, is a remarkable statement. In self-managed container deployments, that's not a rare occurrence. It's a Tuesday.
Stale caches, misconfigured load balancers, rolling updates that don't roll, old tasks that don't drain properly. The list of failure modes is long. The platform approach eliminates most of them by design.
To synthesize what we've covered, the fast rebuilds come from layer caching at the build stage. The platform caches each layer of your container image independently, so incremental code changes only rebuild the top layer. This caching happens in the platform's build infrastructure, not in the serverless runtime, which is why it doesn't conflict with the stateless model.
Container registries are always present under the hood, but some platforms abstract them away entirely. You ship code, they handle the registry. Other platforms require you to manage your own. The trade-off is convenience versus control. The abstracted approach eliminates operational complexity but means trusting the platform's build and registry systems.
Versioning in the abstracted model is implicit. The platform maintains an atomic pointer to the current image digest. When you deploy, the pointer updates, and new invocations get the new image. No window of inconsistency because the update is atomic. For more deliberate versioning, platforms offer deployment aliases or named deployments that let you route specific invocations to specific versions.
The separation between container version and runtime configuration is an architectural concern. Well-designed serverless applications separate code from configuration, so configuration changes don't require new builds. The container defines capabilities. The invocation parameters define behavior.
All of this adds up to a development experience that can feel almost magical. Push code and it runs. But the magic is really just good engineering. Atomic updates, content addressable storage, layer caching, smart image construction. Well-understood techniques applied systematically by a platform that's taken responsibility for the entire build and deployment pipeline.
That's the key word. When you use a platform like Modal, you're transferring responsibility for build correctness, deployment atomicity, and version management from yourself to the platform. That transfer is what makes the experience simple, but it's also what makes it hard to leave.
Which brings us back to the prompt's implicit question. Given that these platforms all handle these concerns differently, how do you choose? You choose based on where you want the responsibility boundary to sit. Do you want to manage images yourself? Do you want to manage your own registry? Do you want explicit version control or implicit? There's no universally correct answer. There's only the answer that fits your tolerance for operational complexity versus your need for control.
For a solo developer shipping a podcast pipeline, the abstracted approach makes a lot of sense. The operational overhead of managing registries and image builds would be a distraction from the actual work. For a team building a production API with strict reliability requirements and an existing CI pipeline, the explicit approach might be a better fit.
One more thing worth mentioning. The prompt observes that on Modal, the default position is that the latest version always runs and it works reliably. But there's an implicit assumption worth making explicit. That reliability depends on the platform's build system being correct. If the build produces a broken image, the atomic deploy will atomically deploy a broken image to all new invocations. The platform guarantees the deploy is consistent, not that it's correct.
That's an excellent point. The platform handles the deployment mechanics, but the correctness of the code is still your responsibility. That's why, for high-stakes workloads, you might want the more deliberate versioning approach, even if the platform supports the simple one. Deploying to staging, testing, and then promoting to production is not about deployment mechanics, it's about risk management.
The prompt actually asks about exactly that. Can you make the process more deliberate? Deploy the new version, test it on a specific episode, keep the old version running for everything else, and only retire the old version when you're confident. The answer is yes. Most platforms support this, but it requires stepping outside the simple default workflow.
It's the difference between the paved road and the off-road trail. The paved road is smooth and fast and gets you where you're going most of the time. The off-road trail requires more effort, but gives you access to terrain the paved road doesn't cover. Good platforms provide both.
All right, I think we've covered the three core questions. Let's land this.
The takeaway is that the serverless magic is really just thoughtful engineering applied consistently. The platforms that do this well have made opinionated choices about what to abstract and what to expose, and those choices determine the developer experience. Understanding those choices, even at a high level, helps you pick the right platform and use it effectively.
The second takeaway is that the simple default, push code, and it runs, works remarkably well for a wide range of workloads. But when it doesn't, the platforms typically provide escape hatches. The key is knowing when you need them. And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The name Greenland is a deliberate misnomer coined by Eric the Red, a Norse explorer exiled from Iceland around 982, who hoped an appealing name would attract settlers to the ice-covered island. It worked, at least briefly, and the name stuck despite the island being roughly 80% ice sheet.
Naming an ice sheet, Greenland, to boost the real estate market. That's the most Viking thing I've ever heard.
Marketing before marketing existed. This has been My Weird Prompts. Our producer is Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps other people find the show.
We're back next time. Same weirdness, different prompt.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.